see here. Is there anything else that can go? There we go. You know, somebody's chuckling with me. You know, this reminds me of when I was counseled for many, many years, and you never knew what was going to come in through the door. And I counseled hour after hour after hour, so I didn't have time to really read a lot of notes beforehand, and so never knew what was going to be coming through the door and what I was going to be faced with, or what I was going to say to whatever came through the door. So I would pray and ask that God would give me the words and so forth to whomever came through the door. And a lot of times I felt pretty comfortable as a counselor, and I felt pretty confident that I could pretty much help most anyone that came through the door. But every once in a while, there was this person that would come through the door, and they would hit me with something that I never really heard before. You hear about counselors saying, "Well, we've heard it all." Well, not really true. There was some times where, like I say, I was hit with something that I never really heard before. And so I didn't know what to say. And these people are paying me big bucks to help them. And so I'm there, God, give me something. Because I have no clue as to what to say. And whenever that happened, God worked in a powerful way. And the next week they would come back and they said, the one thing you said really stuck with me. And they would tell me whatever it was. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's when I said to God, I don't have a clue as to what to say or what's going on. And kind of reminds me of that this morning. I have no idea what's going to happen here, right? So, I'm expecting God to do great things today, in your heart and my heart. So with that said, we're going to take a look at surrendering and the scripture reading that we talked about. And been doing a series of sorts on why does God allow evil? And we found out that how we answer that question is because God gave us free will. He's not going to force us to love him. And in order to do that, right, we can choose God's way, or we can choose to go the evil route, whatever that is. But it's our choice. God is not going to program us to do good, because he wants us out of our own free will to love him. And so that's kind of the background to what we're doing today. And because we have that freedom of choice, and we are also blessed to live in a free country, what rights do we have? Now, we, as I think about living in a free country, we are incredibly, blessed? That's to say the least. We are truly, truly, truly blessed. Now, with all the stuff going on in our world, or in our country, we have all kinds of complaints. We're forever complaining about politics or this one or that one or this issue or that issue. But, we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Amen. And we are blessed to be here and have the freedom to come here. And with living in a free country, having the free choice that God has given us, we like to think about our rights. Particularly as Americans, probably more than any other culture out there, we pride ourselves on, I have rights. Do we not? Yeah. And so, I thought about this and said, okay, so because of free choice and because we live in the country, because we are American citizens, what rights do we have? Well, I always run everything through the Word of God. And I trust that you do too. Whatever happens, run it through the Word of God like a spaghetti strainer. You know what I mean by a spaghetti strainer, right? Run everything. Put everything in that strainer and shake it, right? And the strainer has to be the Word of God. And let God answer the questions and the problems that we have because of free choice. And when we do that, you know, the Bible, in preparing for the message today, I said, okay, what does the Bible have to say about this? Well, okay, Philippians 2. What rights do we have? And as believers, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, what rights do I have in Christ? Now, you would think that as Christians, that because we're Christians and know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's wow, right? I'll say it backwards, wow, right? Man, do I have rights because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know I have a personal relationship with God. Wow, isn't that great? And it is, isn't it? Amen. Come on, you're not chosen frozen anymore. Come on, right? So what rights do I have in Christ? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, as we just read, what rights did Christ have? If we're followers of Jesus, okay, let's take a look at Christ. And that's what Paul does in Philippians. He says, okay, you want to know what your rights are? Let's take a look at Jesus Christ. What rights does Jesus Christ have? Now, in Sunday school, and if you all aren't coming to Sunday school, man, you are missing a blessing. Aren't those, right? Amen? Amen. Yeah. Jan's always got great questions. And we have a great time. It's like a small group, and wow. But anyway, we were talking about this morning faith and doubts and all those kinds of things. And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what rights did he have? You know, the question came up, well, is God male or female? And, you know, and then the Holy Spirit and how all that's connected to Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus Christ, it says here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, speaking of Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. And here it is, even the death of the cross. Now, those of us that spent lots of money and many years in seminary and Bible college and all that kind of thing, this was a very controversial passage, and we all were challenged to work on this particular passage. It's one of the most controversial passages in the Bible, for theologians anyway. And it was, what did Jesus empty himself of? If Jesus was God, it says he emptied himself. So what does that mean? Did he empty himself of deity? Was he any less God because he emptied himself, it says? And the Greek word there is kenosis, which means that he completely emptied himself. And so then the theologians would say, well, then he wasn't God, right? If he completely emptied himself. No, that's not true. And here's why. Because like I said, those of us have paid lots of money and put in all of our time at Bible school, we found out that Jesus, and in all the studies in Greek and theology and all of that, we know because of Jesus living on the face of the earth that he was as human as you and I. He was as human as you and I. He was every bit as much of a human being as you are. He was 100% man. Think about that. He was 100% man. But then it says here as well that he was also in the form of God. And he didn't count the equality, notice, the equality that he had with God as something to be grasped. He was also 100% God. Now, how many here can say you're 100% God? Let's see your hands. Yeah, we can't say that. That's only true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever will be true of anyone who comes and claims any kind of thing having to do with religion. There's only one Jesus. And there was only one man and one God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the theologians would call that, here's a big word. You ready for this? I paid big dollars for this. It's called the hypostatic union. Now you're all sitting there like, what? Yeah. Can you all say that? Hypostatic union. Hypostatic union, yeah. Now, you can go home today and say, wow, guess what? Man, I learned a new word. Hypostatic union. And what that means is, it's a big theological, you know, the theologians, you know, what do they know, right? But it was a term that they gave to Jesus because he is 100% man and 100% God at the same time. See? And that's called the hypostatic union. Now, you're probably the only church in Susquehanna County that's going to go home today and say, you know what? I learned about the hypostatic union. Isn't that great? No, I guess not. Yeah. Kathy's going to write that down so she doesn't forget it. What's that? Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm terrible at spelling. So, but the hypostatic union, where he's both 100% God and 100%. Now, why is that significant? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, we mentioned that this morning in Sunday school as well. Jesus is referred to as a man, and he became a man so that he could be tested and tempted in every way that we are as human beings. And yet, Hebrews says, he was without sin. Yeah, amen. And I don't know about you, but we have a Savior. And I can't help but get emotional here. And I'm not apologizing for my emotion. But we have a Savior that knows what we go through. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering. He knows the death that we are going to face someday. He knows the results of the cancer. Right? He knows what's going on with Joe's carotid arteries, right? And he has been there. He's done that. And in Sunday school, we also talked about the fact that in Matthew, where Jesus was going to the cross. You know, and we think about that. And it says here that he became obedient. That's important. He became obedient. Do you think that Jesus wanted to go to the cross? No. Good, because you're correct. And how do we know that? Because when he was on the eve of going to the cross, he said to God the Father, submitting to God the Father, he said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me. He knew the suffering that he was about to endure, the most excruciatingly painful death anyone could ever experience. And he knew, and he said, you know, if it's possible, God, take this from me. You ever been there? You ever been there? Where you say, God, you know what? Take this. I can't do it. I can't do it. And many times when we say that, it's more like, I won't do it. Right? But that Jesus, just like you and I, as 100% man, said, you know what? Lord, if it possible, please, please, take this away from me. But here's Jesus, 100% God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Does that sound familiar? Do we say that when we're amid whatever trials, pain, struggling? And I can't help but think of Bob Pratt when he was suffering. He surrendered. He surrendered. And God will bring all of us to a point in our lives where we will surrender and say, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus leads the way. He's the example for us. Not my will, but thy will be done. How many times do we want, we talked about this in Sunday school, that we want our will to be done. We have all these expectations. But God wants to bring us to a place where we surrender. And we say, not my will, but thy will be done. And I already mentioned this. So what do we do with the rights that we have as a follower of Jesus Christ? Paul says in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And then he goes on in verse 5 to say, have this same mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of us, and I'm at the head of the line, you'll have to get behind me, how many of us can say, you know, I'm not going to do anything out of selfish ambition. I'm going to put others, make others more significant than myself. I confess, you know, that's one of the sins that I commit every day. Because I'm full of selfish ambition, and so are you. Why? Because we're sinners. That's why. And so we really have to work at putting others more significant than ourselves. The desires, the wants. Well, I want this to happen, or I wanted this to happen, or this has to happen, or I'm going to do whatever it is. Well, that's not what God is calling us to do as believers. He calls us to surrender. He calls us to submit to God himself and to be humble. Count others more significant than yourself. You know, there's much been said about me and throughout my life, and some good, some bad. But the good that was said was never, boy, Al's a humble man. Never been said about me. I'm still waiting for my wife to say that about me, but, you know, hasn't happened yet. But you know, I've been praying that God would make me more of a humble man. Because that's what Jesus was. He's my example. That's what I seek to be. More like Jesus. And to be that way, I have to, in humility, count others more significant than myself. How about you? We are called to surrender our rights and humble ourselves for the sake of others so that the name of Jesus Christ is exalted above every name. You know, we are again in Sunday school. Are you getting the idea? Sunday school is, every time I go, I'm blessed. And in Sunday school, we were talking about giving. And or I guess I was talking about giving, I can't remember, but you know, giving is a wonderful thing, and I trust that all of you give, keep this little church going, and God bless you. God bless you. But you know, God calls us to go beyond giving. He calls us to sacrifice, right? And in Sunday school, we were talking about, I think it was Bonnie that was saying this woman gave 8 quarters. That's all she had. Is that correct? Yeah. And little did she know that Bonnie had laid it upon, or God had laid it upon Bonnie's heart to send this woman a $20 check or something before she knew anything about it, before Bonnie knew anything about it. And so this woman gave the last $2 that she had to the church. And then a week later, what happened, right? She got a $20 check, see? And that's sacrifice. When you give, go beyond giving. And you sacrifice above and beyond what God has blessed you with even. And God will abundantly provide. You know, I got lots of stories that I don't have time to say today, and maybe sometime in the future, how God has blessed me by somebody who has completely sacrificed everything they had. I shared in Sunday school, maybe I'll say this real quick. I shared in Sunday school how when I was in Bible college, a freshman, we didn't have any money. And when I say we didn't have any money, we didn't have any money. We lived all week long on apples and chicken because it was 29 cents a pound then. Right? And my truck quit on me, and I had to commute an hour to school. Didn't know how I was going to get to school. And all of a sudden, I got a call from a former friend, a former parishioner and friend, I should say. She said, "How you doing?" I'm there, "Well, you know, here's the deal." She said, "Well, I just bought a brand new Chevy Chevette." And she said, "It's yours for as long as you need it." Because I have the old Volkswagen. I kept that. I still have it. It runs fine. She didn't give me the Volkswagen. She gave me the Chevy Chevette. Hey? Wow. Right? How does that rock you guys? Huh? You can talk. See? That's something else, isn't it? Yeah. And that took humility. Humble. You know, look at the brand new car I got. No, here. God's people need it more than I do. Here it is. Esteeming others more highly than yourself. Here you go, God. Surrender, I'm going to suggest, well, more than suggest, I'm going to insist that surrender is the greatest act of worship that we have to God. How many agree with that? You agree with that? Yeah, Kathy, yeah. So, if surrender is the greatest act of worship that we have, here's the challenge. What will you surrender as your worship to God? What are you going to surrender? What am I going to surrender as my worship to God? If that's the greatest way we can worship God is by surrendering, what are we going to surrender?
We can surrender our free will for His will.
Good, Caesar. Yeah, yeah. We can surrender our free will for His free will. Now, I prayed about, as I usually do, I mean, I was up really early today, 3 o'clock or something. So I started working the slides again and praying, and then I fell asleep for about an hour and then woke up again and prayed again. And I said to Deb, I said, "I don't know if I'm going to do this morning or not, but I really believe that God has laid it on my heart, so I'm going to do this. And I'm going to ask whoever would like to just speak up this morning and say, you know what, here's what I'm going to surrender to God. Think about it. What are you going to surrender to God? What do you have to surrender to God? What do you want to surrender to God? Say, you know what? I have right to this. I own this. Or I have this, or I have that, or I want this, or I want that. And yeah, we all are entitled to our desires and our wants. But you know what? If surrender is the greatest act of worship, what are you willing to surrender? Yes, Bill. Your soul. Wow. How do you beat that? Surrender my soul. Take my soul, God. Good, Bill. Anyone else? What are you going to surrender? What do you got? What do you have?
Surrender your life to God.
Surrender your life. Okay. Ego. You talked about that in Sunday school. And our hearts. Yep.
All that we have.
All that we have.
All that we have.
Okay, so let me take that, Caesar.
Okay.
And all that we have. Now in Acts, and this is totally off script, in Acts, right, we're told that the early disciples met together in house churches, right? And the church was newly being born, right? And so they were gathering and to support each other and to support the church that God has ordained, right? They had to raise some funds. And so I guess it was Peter, wasn't it? I think so. Peter said, okay, we're going to need you guys to give everything you have for the sake of the church. And so in Acts, it tells us that they would come and they would say, here you go. Here's all that I have. Here, it belonged. Caesar, right? Everything I have. Here it is. I'm bringing it. This is God's church.
We have nothing. God gave it all to us, so it's all here.
You are spot on, buddy. Yeah, that's right. And so in Acts, right, here they are, bringing it to God. It's all they have. And then, you know what? I think this is in Acts 5 where it talks about Ananias and Sapphira.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? And so Ananias and Sapphira, man, you know, God has, wow, look at what God has given. Okay, so here we go. And I would suggest that Ananias and Sapphira are not a whole lot different than you and I, right? So here they come. Everybody previously gave everything that they had to the church. So here they come and they say, here you go.
They held that and they gave the price.
Yeah,
they
yeah. And they held back. They didn't give everything that they had. And the consequences back then were very, very severe. So severe that they were stricken with death. Yeah. That's how serious it is to surrender to God, to sacrifice to God. Our souls, our lives, everything that we have. So how do we do that? How do we do that?
We trust in God.
Yeah. But let's come up with something practical. It's a volunteer. Something that you can surrender to God right now. Maybe God has spoken to you and you know, said, okay, you know what? Here's what I need. And it's not about money. It can be, you know what? I sacrifice my desire, you know, for this. Okay. Anyone else? Boy, now it's quiet.
I have on my cell phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You said be practical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen this morning, and I still don't know what happened. I guess I'll find out. But, you know, I said to Bruce, I said, Deb's not here. It's 9:30. You know, what do we do? You know, and Bruce, like a trooper, says, well, we'll start without her. Or something like that, you said, right? Yeah, we're going to go a cappella. That's it, you know. And right? I got to tell you, I like things organized. And I like things to happen in a certain way. Okay, so we just found out what Vicky's going to surrender, right? I know her well enough to know. Yeah. So we all need to pray for Bruce, right? We love you, Vicky. Yeah, you know, and so I had to surrender the service. Don't know what's going on, right? And believe me, it's not what I wanted to have happen this morning, right? But a surrender to God. What do you have to surrender? Vicky, right? I'm going to surrender what? Control?
Yeah.
Can you say that C word, right? I'm going to surrender my control. How many love to control? Come on, admit it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe and Bonnie, as examples, yeah. And Vicky, your hand did go, oh, okay, and Bob, right? Well, I'm chiding you all, but you know we all love to control, don't we, huh? But to surrender our control, surrender our phone maybe, surrender our car, surrender our truck, right? Whatever it might be. What's that? Our time to house clean for others. My wife is telling me that because she volunteered to clean house for a woman that's pregnant. And I said, well, what about our own house? Kathy, as she crosses her arms, said, I can't believe Pastor Al said that. And I'm who said that? Somebody. Joe, I'm still alive, yeah. So that's the background to why she said what she said. See, I'm just as much a sinner as y'all, right? And so, you know, all right. I surrender that to you. You, whatever, right? Seriously, this morning, as I close here, I want you to think about this message and to think about the passage. Think about Jesus Christ. And what it is that he wants you to surrender to him as we sing, I Surrender All.